This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herndon deal. Chris Henry joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Quarry by the excellent Asheville, North Carolina-based indie rock band Wednesday. We got some visitors from North Carolina in town tonight. Also want to send a shout out to Asheville for all they've gone through.
Have you spent much time in Asheville over the years?
I've been to Asheville a couple times, but it's been a long time. Like, I really liked Asheville when I visited, but it's been more than 10 years since I've been there.
It's certainly been booming. All right, Charlotte's in town. What do we? Who knows what we're going to see from Charlotte tonight? But what do you make of their squad this year?
I think they have a chance to be a lot better. You know, LaMelo Ball, I think, played like 20 games, something like that, last season. Brandon Miller was a rookie, and so I think Brandon Miller is going to be really good. And if they can get, you know, more than a half season, you know, a quasi full season from LaMelo Ball to go with a year or two Brandon Miller, I think that team has a chance to be a lot better. A lot better is still a losing record, but I do think there's a potential there if they have a healthy season for Charlotte to be a lot better.
Well, there's some sense, too, that, like, I don't know if that team always was aiming for mediocrity, and they don't.
Well, this is one of the questions. At what point in this, there are some teams that are clearly, they're going to be tanking and going for the draft pick. There are some teams that have been bad where it's clearly that's not what they want to do this season.
Right.
You get to midseason with Charlotte, I don't know which way they're going to pivot. You know, it sort of seems like it could go either way with them.
Who's tanking?
Utah is tanking. Washington is tanking. Brooklyn is tanking. That's head of the class right there.
Even though they signed their star.
Yeah, that roster, and plus, I mean, Cooper Flagg in Utah, they got to want that. I think Utah, Brooklyn, Washington are in it to win it. Not necessarily that order. I think Brooklyn's probably head of the class. I think they're going to hit the eject button on lots of people. Those three are obvious. I think Portland pretty much is in the same spot.
Where's Detroit?
I think Detroit wants to be better. And it's easy to be better when you won 14 games last year.
Right.
I mean, they went out and they got Tobias Harris, and they got Tim Hardaway Jr., and they got Malik Beasley. All these, like, veteran mid-rotation, like, fill-in guys. Those are not the guys. You can still be bad with those guys.
Right.
But those are not the guys you go out and get if you're trying to tank. You go out to get those to put shooting. They wanted to add shooting to the young players you already had to try to get better. And so I think there's a chance that Detroit doubles their win total this season. That would bring them all the way to 28 wins.
Right. How about the Bulls?
Oh, the Bulls should be tanking.
They should be tanking.
The question there is, like, are they finally going to do what they need to do? And I think the Bulls are going to be bad. And I think there's a chance that they do hit the eject button. And I think there's a chance that Detroit and Charlotte are better than Chicago.
All right. We got Grizz Charlotte tonight. And the news came down that it's a mild sprain from Ja. They're going to be careful with him going forward. And I suspect that means we're done for the preseason.
Implication, I mean, not certainty, but the implication was that he will not play in preseason, but will play on opening night. That is your most likely scenario.
So opening night. We expect Jaren and we expect Ja.
I don't know if I'm all the way to expect on Jaren. I feel like Jaren is in. I feel like if you're talking about opening night, like, you know, Gigi Jackson is out and
Vince is out.
Vince Williams is doubtful, which means you're probably out. Jaren is questionable, which means you're probably going to play, but we're going to take a look at it before, and Ja is probable. So that's the way those four players, I would stretch it out that way.
Forget the are they injury prone? What's wrong with their training staff stuff? Whatever nonsense, right?
Well, I think,
problematic.
I think,
go ahead. What were you
there
saying?
Is a durability question with this roster. It's, if you look at it over multiple seasons, and I wrote about that with Ja and Dez. They're both durability questions with them that they've built up over multiple years at this point. I think behind them, there are durability questions with Luke Kennard and Marcus Smart. So that's four players right there.
What's Kennard's issues been?
It's been little like knee stuff. It's been not big injuries, but like little stuff. He has not logged a lot heavy game loads in a long time.
I guess that when you come, when we talk about durability, there's some people who have the same injury that keeps recurring, which you know, well, that's a problem. He's going to, you know, Joel Embiid's knee, he's never going to be able to play a full season, whatever else, right?
Right.
Then there's just, if you suffer of a collection of different injuries, is that just because is that still injury prone, breakable body like sort of thing? Or
I think some people are more prone to smaller injuries and wear and tear kind of stuff than other people. Yeah, I think
who's durable?
Whether you
want to
call that injury prone or not, you know.
Who's durable?
You know, actually, in recent years, Jaren's been pretty durable. He had the big injury early on, but the last couple of years, he's been one of the more durable guys.
It's like Steph Curry was.
I mean, Zach Edey's college career was very durable.
He was very durable, and then he gets here, and all of a sudden he's injured.
No, he's not.
He had a little ankle. He twisted an ankle in a summer league, so
they didn't play him. I mean, he has not had an injury since he's been with the Grizzlies. I don't know. I mean, they have so many young players at this point. There's not a lot of guys.
Seems like he should be durable, even though he's not. He's out right now.
He hasn't been. He missed time last season. So you know, I don't know.
So what I was going to ask is. Obviously, it'd be problematic if people miss extensive games.
Yeah.
How problematic do you think it is that they're not here together for this preseason, particularly given the new offense?
Oh, I think a little bit more than normal for that reason. And I asked Taylor Jenkins a little bit about that yesterday. And he first said, "Oh, I'm not worried about that." And then he had the long answer that came around to. There's some catching up to do, and I'm realistic about that. And so, I mean, one of the things he did say was that, like, they didn't start installing this stuff when training camp started. Like, they've been doing it, right? Unofficially, like, basically, players have been together working on this stuff during the summer. So even the guys like Jaren, who, like, you know, gets a hamstring strain on day one of training camp, it's not like that was the first day he'd been working on this stuff.
Right.
And so there's that aspect to it. And then there's the aspect of, even though they can't be Jaren, Vince, maybe now Ja, you know, Gigi, they can't be full participants at training camp. Physically, they are full participants at training camp mentally, so they are going through and watching everything and doing the film and doing and so there is going to be some catch-up to do for them, and I do think it is impactful relative to the chemistry being built, but it's not that big of a deal, you know?
It's interesting.
Preseason only means so much, man.
Right.
These people.
Well, I mean, did you see LeBron
especially
tweet?
Especially established players. They just don't.
Did you see the LeBron tweet?
No.
LeBron tweeted, he said, let me see if I have it here. Can someone please explain to me why we're getting on a plane and heading to Milwaukee for one preseason game?
LeBron James is 100% correct. There are two teams in Los Angeles, by the way.
Right.
There's a team in Phoenix. Why are you flying from Los Angeles to Milwaukee for a preseason game? That's stupid. I agree completely. Preseason should be regional. The Grizzlies should just do
just play
home and homes with Atlanta and New Orleans and then start the season. Like I agree completely.
Yeah. I think that probably doesn't make sense. So yes, they only mean so much. You all, before we even saw any of this unfold, you wondered whether there would be some adjustment to this new stuff. Like are you, having seen it and heard more about it and seen it, are you more concerned?
One of the things we've had one game. One of the things I'm struck by is I suspect people are overrating the magnitude of the change. And if you listen closely, and it's hard with Taylor because he says so much so fast. And sometimes if you go back and re-listen, or in my case, if you go back, like I'll feed it through the transcript thing and look at it, you'll see stuff that you just don't notice. And like, so yesterday, he was talking about, one of the things he said was like, just in passing, it was like, you know, because people would ask him about the offense. And he's talking about the offense, whatever. He says, you know, we haven't really installed a lot of our pick and roll stuff yet. In preseason, you don't roll everything out game one. You're building things piece by piece in your training camp and in your preseason. So he said, you know, we haven't really worked on installed our new pick and roll stuff yet. Because we're trying to focus on the most new thing first.
I see.
And then later on, I was asking him about Jaren and how Jaren fits in with the new system and new players and all this when he comes back. And he said, and I may not have the phrasing exactly right, but it was something like this. He said, you know, we've got our principles game, we've got our pick and roll game. And he's almost implying like there's two offenses, and sometimes we'll deploy one and sometimes we'll deploy the other. And then earlier in Nashville in training camp, there was some question, and he said something about, you know, and he was talking about the different stuff they do, and he said, and we have our set plays, we'll run out of timeout, out of sidelines, out of bounds. So the idea that I think people have gotten of, they have a radical new system, and like 48 minutes every game, they're just going to be running their system. That's not what it's going to be. It'll be a mix. It'll be more flexible than that. So I am not yet convinced this is like they're radically overhauling the game of basketball or whatever.
Well, after the and as you said earlier, you would have liked to see them just throw the damn ball.
That was more of a jokey thing on Twitter.
But it's also
I should never tweet because I had people like thinking that was serious basketball analysis and trying to talk to me about it. I'm like, I'm just joking about Zach Edey in a preseason game.
Man. All right. Well, speaking of which, then you did tweet that fried okra should be a concession food.
One of the things I've said for decades at this point is that, like, if I won the lottery, uh-huh, I would open a movie theater, right?
Okay.
A rep movie theater and just show cool stuff and not worry about making money. And one of the things I would have is concession stand food, or you get a bag of fried okra. You get, like, watch your movie and be popping okra in your mouth. Absolutely. It has to be like the kind of fried okra that's like the best fried okra to me is like skillet fried. That doesn't work as concession food. But like the pre-breaded, frozen out of the bag, you throw in the deep fryer, you can really pop that like popcorn. Great stuff.
Do you need a dipping sauce?
No. A dipping sauce.
No, you don't need that?
How long have you lived in Memphis?
In this circumstance, would you not want to have something there?
I like to sprinkle a little Louisiana or Crystal hot sauce on my okra sometimes, but a dipping sauce?
Okay, no. I didn't.
Get out of here.
I literally had not eaten okra until I moved to Alabama to work for the Anniston Star. And then what the hell is this okra stuff? And I still have not had okra that is not, well, maybe, I can't think of one I've had okra that is not fried.
My dad loves some boiled okra and tomatoes. And you got to be hard. You got to be hardcore with that. That's some real Southern stuff, right?
Well, you get okra in like in stews and stuff like that too.
Yeah, thickening agent and gumbos.
And gumbos.
We roast okra. My parents roast. That's a common thing in our family. Is roasted okra. Cut it into slivers and oven roast it. A little olive oil, salt and pepper.
It would be good. Like, you talk about regional differences to have at FedEx Forum fried okra as a concession.
Just as a statement of principle.
As a statement of principle.
Yeah, no, I love it.
And I bet some people would get it. Yeah.
I would totally get it.
If you got a boiled potato, if we have fried potatoes there, we can have okra there.
Right.
All right. So what's most interesting tonight then? Zach Edey again.
I'm going to see Zach Edey play a basketball game in an NBA jersey in person for the first time in my life. So that's what I'm most interested in. It's Zach Edey, and it's like the system stuff and how they're in the stylistic stuff. It's the offensive stylistic stuff, and it's Zach Edey. It's those two things.
All right, let me, while I have you here, why don't I go to a little more of the GM survey, and you tell me if you think the GM's got some of these right. Ready?
Yeah.
If you were starting franchise today and could sign any player in the NBA, who would it be?
Yeah, so Wimby is going to be the answer there.
77% overwhelming.
Probably the right answer, but the injury potential given his body type and the fact that he is not an on-ball player, I think it should be a closer call between him and Luka on that question.
Luka got 3%. Shea Gillis-Alexander got 10, and Jokic got 10. They were tied for 10 each. That gets to the next question. Who will win the 2024-25, and they call it Kia MVP, because it is the Kia MVP. They say Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
So I will probably, when I write next week, predict Luka as MVP. I think the Shea thing comes from, I mean, he was one of the finalists last year, so you sort of have to get up close before you break through. And everyone thinks Oklahoma City is going to be awesome, so it's best player, best team. I just think that he's just not as good as Luka. And I think even if OKC is first and Dallas is second or third, and I think if Luka has a great season, I think a lot of voters are going to look at this and say, wait a minute.
He's not as good as Luka. He's not as good as Luka.
People are going to look at it and say, wait a minute. Luka's just a slightly different tier of player. Let's give the MVP to the best player who is also on one of these top teams. So I think my prediction is going to be Luka on that.
Will Ja Morant finish top five in MVP voting?
Oh, probably not, but the potential is there for that. But A, he has to exceed the 65-game threshold.
That's true.
And B, the Grizzlies got to be at minimum a top four seed in the West. So if Ja plays 70 games and they're like the third seed in the West and he has a great individual season,
maybe.
He's
What player most likely to have a breakout season in 24-25? They go Jalen Williams here.
Yeah, that I think
Ja was tied for second, which is a little silly. He already broke out.
It's because they did. There's no question about who's going to be the comeback player. Like, that used to be an award, the comeback player of the year. That's really the Ja. The Ja season is in that mold, not the breakout mold. So they're conflating, I think, those two different things. The breakout. There's no obvious guy on the breakout stuff. If you're
Brandon Miller's interesting.
Well, I was about to say, if you're not going to consider second-year guys.
Oh, I see.
Because I do think the second-year guys are the most, like Chet Holmgren, Brandon Miller. If you consider second-year guys, I kind of like Brandon Miller for that. But in terms of a guy who's going to, who's deeper than year two, is going to be like a first-time All-Star, which is sort of your classic most improved kind of player, Jalen Williams is a pretty good bet for that, probably.
Best point guard, best shooting guard, it's Luka and Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, I think that's fine. Luka, it's a matter of like how you define his position, right? I think point guard's the right definition, and I think if that's the case, he should be one. Edwards is probably the right answer. You know, it could be Devin Booker. That's kind of the weakest position as scoring guard in the league.
What's interesting is Luka is first, he is the best point guard. He is the fifth best shooting guard, and he is the second best small forward.
What do you call it, right?
Right.
When your perimeter lineup is Kyrie Irving, Luka Doncic, Klay Thompson, like what do you call what on positions?
One of the interesting ones is weakest position, best power forward. All of this stuff is crazy now. Giannis is best power forward.
Yeah.
But that's kind of a weak position too, isn't it?
Depends on who you're putting there. I think is Kevin Durant a power forward? I think he is at this point. Is LeBron a power forward? I'd call him a small forward. But if you have, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kevin Durant, and LeBron James, that's a pretty starry trio.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Best center, Jokic, so that's pretty clear. Best overall moves this offseason?
I think the most unambiguously good moves, the most non-debatable good moves were the OKC moves with Caruso and Hartenstein, and then Philly getting Paul George.
Yeah, those were two.
Because the New York Minnesota thing's complicated.
It's complicated, and of course they had made other moves before then, right?
Well, the Mikal Bridges, Bridges would be move. One you could put on that category.
But it's muddied by the one player acquisition make the biggest impact. That's Paul George. Most underrated player acquisition, Alex Caruso. I guess it's underrated, but everybody raved about it.
It's so underrated, it's overrated or whatever at this point. Yeah.
Here you go. Which team will be most improved in 24-25? Your Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a gimme if they're healthy. It's almost like they should be in a separate category from the other candidates for that because it's like Ja. It's the comeback, bounce back. It's not really the...
Rookie of the year, Reed Shepard wins. Zach Edey, 2. Stephon Castle, 3. Also receiving votes, Ron Holland, Alex Sarr.
So the guy I wonder about, and maybe I'm overly swayed by his one preseason game, but Ricochet was good in the Atlanta first preseason game, and I do think I've been saying from the beginning, like Edey may be the only rookie to start. Maybe it makes sense for, you're going to keep running out DeAndre Hunter, you know?
Right.
Maybe Ricochet will start for Atlanta, and even though Trey dominates the ball a lot, they got rid of DeJounte Murray, so there's a lot more usage to spread around to other players. Or maybe Ricochet, maybe the number one pick will be a sleeper, you know?
Rookie best player in 5 years. There it's Shepard, Castle, and Ricochet. With Bub Carrington, people seem to like that. Yeah. He had a good summer. People seem to like that one as well.
It's interesting. Alex Sarr does not pop up on that stuff because he's sort of the classic, like, good down the line.
He's a little guy. He got some votes, but later. Biggest steal, Bub Carrington, and Devin Carter and Johnny Furphy. There's five. Yeah, okay. Best international player, that seems pretty easy. Best defensive player, I'm not going to go there. Best, what's interesting is, so the Grizzlies got some mention. Best perimeter defender, you got Marcus Smart receiving votes. And best interior defender, you got Jaren Jackson receiving votes. But that's it. Like Jaren's behind Wemby, Gobert, Anthony Davis, Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, pretty good group of
guys
there.
Pretty good group to be behind there. All right, and we'll go with Which new or relocated head coach will make the biggest impact on his new team?
I mean, that requires me to remember all the new head coaches.
I'll give you some names.
I mean, Bud Budenholzer's the obvious one here. It's a guy who like won a title with Milwaukee. He's got a lot of talent to work with. There's a perception that that team underperformed. I'm not sure if that's actually true last season. That's an obvious one. And I've already mentioned, I think Detroit might like double their win total.
We'll wrap up with this one. Which team is the most fun to watch?
You know, I don't know if I think Oklahoma City is going to be a popular answer to that. I think an underrated one there are the Pacers with the way they play. I think they have a chance to be the best offense in the league. But then you have like what players like Jokic right. and Wimby and Curry right.
yeah.
and whatever.
You so know? What is fun? Yeah, right. And you like variety. But interestingly, Indiana won that with 37%.
Huh. And they would not win if submitted to a popular vote.
No, would not win submitted right. to a popular vote. It's the GMs. Right. So Indiana, 37%, Oklahoma, 27%. Then the Nuggets, the Warriors, 10 each, the Celtics, 7. All right, Chris, thanks very much. Enjoy Zach Edey tonight.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Jeffrey, we got to play Right Than Right Trivia. What are we giving away?
So, Jeff, we have two tickets to the... We have two tickets to the Memphis UNC Memphis Women South Carolina the St. Jude tip off or the Hoops for St. Jude tip off classic.
Yeah,
we also have four tickets to go see the Black Crows on October the 15th. I believe both events are on October the 15th. We also have 901 wrestling tickets to the October the 20th show at Minglewood Hall.
That's fabulous. So. Three different things were given away. We'll take caller number three. The phone number is 445-0929, 445-0929. You just got to be, you can try to be right and right. Jeffrey went down to defeat last week, but only because I was asking the questions. But if you play honorably, still you got a good chance of winning those tickets. So we will do that next. It is the Jeff Calkins Show on a Thursday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Joined now by Kevin Cerrito. He was off traveling last week, so I had to pinch hit. And Kevin, I did something that you aren't able to do. I brought down Jeffrey. How about that? How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, no, this role has changed over the years. People believe that it's my job to make Jeffrey lose, which it's hard to control. So no. Yeah, I'm very impressed.
It is hard to control. Jeffrey is a wizard and we did our best. What's happening in the world of fun and games?
So much is going on since the last time we talked. We've got folks are now able to compete in Collierville and Cordova at some new venues that we've added just this week. So this past Tuesday, I was out at Maroon Brew Co., which is out in Collierville. There's a brew pub in Collierville now, if you haven't heard. It is awesome. We packed it out for trivia on Tuesday. It's a family-friendly spot. We'll be there every Tuesday at 6:30. Tonight at 7, we're in a new spot in Cordova. The Cordova area loves music bingo, and we're back out there at Waldo's Chicken and Beer, which is in the old Nukes there on Germantown Parkway. If you haven't heard of Waldo's, it's a Tennessee chain that just came to Memphis, and the chicken is awesome. And so you just come check that out and play some music bingo here tonight. You can get chicken all different types of ways, on the bone, on the bun, in a basket, in a bowl. However you like your chicken, you can get it from them, and you'll love their signature cheese biscuits, which they have on the menu. That's at Waldo's. We'll be out there tonight starting music bingo every week. Next week, we're giving away Blues Travelers tickets. Blues Traveler coming to Graceland Live. We got tickets to that at 90s Music Bingo on Monday at Cafe Eclectic, which is our new Monday spot. So check out CerritoEntertainment.com. Find out where we are. We're somewhere near you where you can come play for free.
All right, Jeffrey, do we have a contestant?
We do indeed. Jeff, let's welcome Richard and Drummonds to the program.
Hello, Richard. How are you? Where's Drummonds? Where exactly is Drummonds?
It's just north of Millington in Tipton County.
All right. Well, welcome to the show. I'm going to hand things over to Jeffrey, and best of luck.
I mean, to Kevin. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. We'll see. Hopefully this will get handed to Jeffrey here today. All right. This is Right of the Right Trivia. Your job is to get more right than Jeffrey. If you do, you will win. Of course, you just got to play fair. We've got a mega super prize pack. So I want Jeffrey to remind folks of everything they're playing for.
So we have two tickets to the Hoops for St. Jude tip-off classic. We have four tickets to go see the Black Crows at Bank Plus, and then we also have 901 wrestling passes.
Oh, sounds good.
Holy, all right. That's a triple have a lot prize of fun pack, here. Yes. Yeah, over the next few weeks. Okay, I'm going to give you the choice of two categories. Whatever you don't choose will automatically go to Jeffrey. You can steal from him one time if he misses, and vice versa, as long as it's not a 50-50 question, which we are starting with here today. Do you want weight or height?
Height.
Height. Which is height, right? Height. Which is taller?
Yeah.
Which is taller? The tallest redwood tree ever recorded or One World Trade Center in New York City?
Tallest redwood tree.
Taller. That would be incorrect. One World Trade up there at 1,776 feet versus 380 was your tallest tree. It's pretty tall.
That's yeah, I would
tall that tree. Is tall.
Yeah. All right, over to Jeffrey.
So we have a miss there. Jeffrey cannot steal. We'll go to weight. Which is heavier, Jeffrey? A typical adult male polar bear or a typical adult male walrus?
I'm going to say polar bear.
Polar bear is incorrect. Walruses weigh over 2,000 pounds. Wow. The polar bear maximum weight is 1,600 pounds.
No boy. Right, so scoreless first quarter here. All right. Couple back of to Richard. Yeah.
Richard, you want Emmys or Italy?
Ooh, Emmys.
Emmys. All right. This is a multiple choice question per the new rules here. And we've adjusted the kickoff rules, kickoff return rules, and the multiple choice rules here in 2024. So according to the rules, if you do miss this, Jeffrey can steal. All right. Which primetime Emmy category for being outstanding was first given out in 2003? Was it A, the television movie, B, reality competition, C, game show, or D, outstanding limited or anthology series?
I really don't know, but I'm going to go with C.
C for game show is yes. Incorrect. Jeffrey.
Yes, I'll steal. It's the reality competition.
That is correct, because the year was 2003. We were at peak reality. Jeffrey's on the board. We're going to Italy. Jeffrey, what Italian city's name means city of flowers? Is it A, Venice, B, Florence, C, Naples, or D, Pisa? I get it. Are you in this, Jeffrey? You here?
Yeah,
I can attest to his presence.
I don't want to think out loud because...
Think
okay.
out loud.
Oh, okay.
Because it's right, a steal. Because right. It's a steal. So he didn't
no, want to. I mean, it's a multiple choice.
He doesn't want to get it down to two.
Yeah, it's not great.
City of Flowers. Yeah, what are the choices again?
We might have to flip the rules back because it's not as fun radio when Jeffrey has to be protective of his thought process here. But do you need the choices again, Jeffrey?
Yeah, let
you,
me hear one more time.
A, Venice. B, Florence. C, Naples. D, Pisa.
I'm going to be wrong. Florence. Final answer.
Florence is correct.
Florence is correct.
B, Florence
Florida
is
lead,
correct.
That was...
2-0. 2-0. Scores 2-0. Backward to Richard. Back to Richard.
All right. We're done with choices for the rest of today. Jeff, Richard, do you want food or films? You want food or films? Food or films?
Films,
Cottonmouth, Sidewinder, and Copperhead are nicknames of characters in what Quentin Tarantino film series?
I don't even have a clue.
Quentin Tarantino film series.
Is it Kill Bill?
It is Kill Bill.
He's on the board.
Oh, my. Wow.
2-1.
What a game.
Food for you, Jeffrey. What chain restaurant, known for their extensive menu and desserts, has trademarked the word glam burgers?
Cheesecake Factory.
Cheesecake Factory is correct. The Cheesecake Factory. Have you had a glam burger, Jeffrey?
I've not had a glam burger. My move at Cheesecake Factory is I would tell whoever was like sitting across from me to pick a number like 1 through 17, and that was the page that I would order off of.
Yeah, that was crazy. It's crazy.
The menus
insane. 3-1. Score is 3-1. Back to Richard.
Boats or board games?
Board games?
Board games. What is the two-word name of the quarter space directly opposite of Go on a Monopoly board?
Directly opposite? Free parking.
That is correct.
Nailed it.
Well done.
3-2. Hanging in there. Over to Jeffrey.
Jeffrey gets boats. Also a type of footwear. What is the name for the T-shaped pieces of metal or wood used for securing rope on a boat?
Say that again.
Also a type of footwear. It's the name. The word is also the name of a type of footwear. What is the name for the T-shaped pieces of metal or wood used for securing rope on boats?
It's wrong. Sandal.
Sandal is incorrect. The steel is out there. Do you want to use it or save it? Or do you know anything about boats?
I actually do, and I think I'm going to steal this one.
Oh,
all right.
Drama.
To tie it up.
Is it cleat?
It is cleat. That is correct. The cleat.
Wow. Tie score. We have one more round of regulation.
No, we're done.
We're done.
We're to OT. Yeah.
We're to OT. Richard, how many do you want to wager of your 3 points?
My 3 points.
Does he have three points? Or is that
the score? It's 3-3.
It's 3-3.
3-3. Three, three. Wow, what a score.
I'm sorry, how many?
Two.
You're both wagering two. We'll start with you, Richard.
All right, we'll see how it goes. The category here to end today's trivia is famous last lines. Famous last lines. Do you want question A or B?
Let's do question B.
Question B. I'm going to give you the famous last line of an iconic song here. They found a tape, but they didn't say who it was to. Come to think about it, his name was It Was You. Is the final line of what iconic song?
Could you repeat that?
I'm going to give you, and I will give you the year, because I'm going to give the year on both of them. So let me get you the year, but I will repeat the quote as well. It's the last line of a song from the year. This one is from the year 2000. They found a tape, but they didn't say who it was to. Come to think about it, his name, It Was You.
Just seeing it, Richard. I got no clue.
You said it's from 2000.
The year 2000.
Found a tape. Come to... You know what? This is Eminem's Stand, correct? Right? Oh, please?
Correct. It is correct. That is correct. Eminem's Stand is correct.
Oh, nailed it.
Oh.
I had no shot.
Now coming in handy for once.
Your what's coming in handy? Not tell me, not Google.
No, I said Eminem knowledge.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
Boats, Eminem. That's all. You never know. All right, last line for you, Jeffrey.
Last line, Jeffrey.
The mysterious line, turn around, bright eyes, is whispered at the end of what timeless song from 1983? Turn around, bright eyes. It's whispered at the end. It's the last line. 1983 song. Turn around, bright eyes. Could Jeffrey lose? He lost last week during an exhibition game. Hopefully the Tigers don't lose an exhibition game next week. This one, today's game counts, Jeffrey.
The tension is high.
What is a big song in 83?
He misses and he loses and calls, because if he gets it right, it's a tie.
Yeah, but you got to dethrone the champ.
All right. It's wrong. I'm saying Bright Eyes, Always Something There to Remind Me.
That is incorrect. Jeffrey loses?
That's incredible.
Is that what happens to you?
I don't believe that could be happening.
What's the song? I can even hear it. What is the song?
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
God dog it.
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Congrats,
speaking of eclipses, mm-hmm. down goes Jeffrey. Richard, congratulations. I take it you told him where you collect everything.
Yep.
Steve, you're going to have to back up a truck to haul all these prizes away. Thanks, Richard. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Kevin, where can people find you?
Well-deserved win there. You'll hear at least one of these questions tonight at Trivia. We're four different places, including Dan McGinnis in South Haven, where Huey's South went out there close to the golf course, and at Hampline in Midtown Evergreen Grill as well. But you can go to CerritoEntertainment.com. We always ask at least one question from the Jeff Calkins Show at every single Trivia night. And Calkins, last night, you were the answer to a question.
Oh,
you were
I was. Question. Really? What was the question?
You were. Jeff Calkins was the answer. And
what was the question? You don't remember the question. You don't remember the question. Did it have to do with my good looks?
I'll bring it to you. It was from our handout round. I'll bring it by the station next Wednesday when I'm co-hosting with Jeffrey, so you could see it.
Appreciate it.
I'll post it there up on the wall. But about a third of the teams got Jeff Calkins correct last night.
And I hope they spelled Jeff the stupid way, the way you're supposed to.
Like, they really did. They spelled it the correct way. I was very
I hope they put a U in the last name.
All right. Thanks so much. See you, Kevin. Bye.
All right. Thanks.
Did you see Nate Bargatze?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
The Washington, what's it called? George Washington's Dream? Is
yes.
that what it's called? So the original George Washington's Dream from last spring, which is Bargatze was last appeared on SNL.
Right.
Was truly genius. It was tremendous. Didn't you think? Did you see it? You
saw that? Yes, I thought both of them were good.
The second one's
not as good, but obviously going to be biased.
I am biased because he takes a shot at the spelling of the way I spell my name. He said there's two ways to spell Jeff, the one with the J and the stupid way.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. He's George Washington. Is that J-E-O-R-G-E? No, it's G. It's G.
Yeah, but
George.
Nobody spells George with a J.
Jeff. Exactly. But that's my point. There's nothing. Same sound. I'm not reaching.
You're reaching.
George
here.
Washington is criticizing Jeff for spelling it with a G as opposed to J. Seems
Joffrey.
Preposterous. Seems preposterous.
Okay, Charles.
Not as funny.
Mm-hmm.
You're just sour for understandable reasons.
No, you're sour.
No.
Yes.
You're sour.
No, because everyone agrees that it's that was the best joke.
It was a good joke. No, I thought the best joke from the skit. And if anyone hasn't seen it, you should, first of all, if you haven't seen it, you gotta Google Nate Bargatze, Washington's Dream. And the first one about numbers is just brilliant. It's fantastic. Second one about names as words, good. But the other reason it's not as good is the difference isn't there, there's not as big a difference between English spelling and U.S. spelling, even in the examples that
it's just like
so the best part honestly was when he told the guy get out of the boat.
Oh yeah,
that was the funniest joke.
Get out.
He said, what's in a hot dog?
Get out.
No real American wants to know what's in a hot dog. That was the best. That was the funniest joke. If you haven't seen it, my apologies for this little segue here. We got to take a break. Before that, I will tell you, we got an NFL game tonight, 49ers and Seahawks. You can wager on it over at FanDuel, America's number one sports book. And right now, new customers bet $5, get $300 in bonus bets if you win. Kenneth Walker, pride of Bartlett High School, Arlington High School. My apologies to Arlington. Pride of Arlington High School. Put them down in your same game parlay. Anytime touchdown. Or whatever. But go to FanDuel.com/Calkins. C-A-L-K-I-N-S. C-A-L-K-I-N-S.
That's the promo code to make every moment more this season. Again, new customers, bet $5, get $300 in bonus bets if you win. Must be 21 or older, present Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Back on the Jeff Calkins Show, we expect to hear about the Memphis football game today, don't you, Jeffrey?
I suppose at this point, like, that seems to be the expectation, but
I expect to hear something today. Okay, Jeffrey, in honor of the NHL season starting up, a famous singer tweeted the following. I ran into one of the Buffalo Sabres in the elevator at the Prague Hotel. They were in town to play the New Jersey Devils. He invited me to the game, but I was performing that night. It was freaking Bob Dylan.
I saw, oh yeah, I saw
there was crazy. Bob Dylan.
Did not expect to see him tweeting about the Sabres.
I did not expect to have Bob Dylan tweeting about my, and you know, that's what I'm sour about, Jeffrey. Why I don't have sympathy for Phillies fans or Philadelphia fans. Sabres haven't made the playoffs in 14 years and they're 0-2 to start the season.
Yeah, there's like one of the, there's a great video from the one of the guys that works on the Hot Wings thing, and he goes back, he's from Buffalo, and he goes back and he's got his buddy, and he's like, yeah, nothing better than watching the Sabres lose and just crushing a dozen wings.
It's just destroys.
It's like, that's what
there's
we do.
There's no hope to start the new season. It's just, and already the fan base has just come apart. It's toxic. No one goes. They hate the team. It's awful. So Phillies fans, listen, they're going to be good next year.
Yeah.
Going to be good again. That's sports, man. Sorry for the loss. You ain't get no sympathy from me. What's next on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. So Drew Hill will join them today. Also joining us on Jeff Wright and Company today is with Cobb, Eric, and Jason will join. Just Eric will join us today. Also, Jeff will join Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow for Now Work Is Done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.